two parts of the Musaf Tefillah, which some of us perhaps miss out on the message because it's one of the highlights of the Chazan. Hayom Haras Hoylom. We say after Tekiyas, today is the birthday of the world. Today was the first day where the world is created. Hayom Yamid Bamishpot. Today, everybody stands in judgment. Kol Yitzuri Olamim. All the creatures of the world, anything that the Ribbono Shel Olam created, Im Kavonim Im Kavodim. Either were like children or were like Avodim. Im Kavonim, Havrachmonos on us. And if it's Kavodim, Vaita Havrachmonos on us. We look up to you for Rachmonos. To take away the Latsona Achas Deicha Meir Tichochas that was asked, that if I'm sitting in court and my father is the judge, then I'm sure going to get off and he's not going to give me a punishment. The answer is Im Kavonim, Im Kavodim. If you behave like children, then you can turn around on Yom Kippur, on Rosh Hashanah, and say, I'm a child. And the father doesn't give his son a hard time. But if we're not like Bonim, and we don't behave like Bonim L'Hashem Elokecha, and we don't behave like children of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then it'll be Ka'avodim. And if it's Ka'avodim, then it's a whole different pshat. Then you've got a whole different filler. But Lamaisa Hayom Haras Olam. Today, the world was created. And therefore what? So what, it was the first day of the world. Therefore Hayom Yamed Bamishpot. Today there's a Mishpot. I want to explain, just because the world was created, therefore, what's the connection with being a Mishpot? The first day of creative, therefore, there's a Mishpot. When the Nesana Tokif Kedushas Hayom, famous tefillah of the Nesana Tokif, and everybody knows the story that lies behind the Nesana Tokif. When the Nesana Tokif Kedushas Hayom, I want to tell you the power of today's Kedusha. Ki hu noira va'oyam, because it's frightening. Uvoiti nosem al chusecho. Today, the Ribbono Shel Olam's malchus gets reinstated. V'teishev olav ve'emes. And the Ribbono Shel Olam sits on the kavod hamalchus, and he's dying, and he writes, v'siska kol hanishkochis. He remembers everything that was forgotten, and he opens up the Sefer HaZichronos, Ume'olov Yikore, and it reads from itself. The Choysem Yad Kol Odom Boy, and everybody's signature on anything that he's done is written there. U'b'Shofar Gadol Yitoka, and then there's a Kriyas HaShofar, which also has to be explained, how does Shofar come in the middle? And the Malachim are tittering. Everybody goes through like sheep go through the small gate when the shepherd is counting, and everybody gets marked. Some people get marked red, and the ones who got marked red have a problem that year. But everybody goes through one by one. Kama yavrun, kama yibareinu. How many will make it? How many won't make it? Mi bakitzei, who's in his right time. Mi bamai, mi ba'esh. And he goes through all the different. Mi ya'oni, mi ya'osher. How many people were written last year who had the confidence of speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam like a osher and felt that he's given so much stocker he bought the Ribbono Shel Olam off. And this year he's coming to Rosh Hashanah, Mi Ye'oni, as a poor man. fighting for survival. This is all what goes on Rosh Hashanah. And the Hayom Hara Seilom, the creation of the world, is Hayom Yamed Bamishpat. What's the connection? And in short, I don't want to keep you too long, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world on Rosh Hashanah. Every year is a new creation. It's Ki'ilu, the Ribbono Shel Olam coming back and starting a new creation. And on the day of the creation, said Mefarshim, the Ribbono Shel Olam decides, who are my best ministers? Who do I make foreign policy? Who do I put in the Minister of Finance? Who's Secretary of State? And Ribbono Shel Olam goes through all his bonim and avodim and makes his decision, who should he give what position? And the position depends on his qualifications. So automatically, when the king decides to reinstate his kingdom, when the president decides on the new year how he's gonna change the cabinet, he has to make it to Yom HaDin. Who gets in? Who's got protection? How do I become Secretary of State? How do I become Foreign Minister? All the jobs that the president has to give out is a Yom HaDin for each person. The Yom HaDin is an outcome of the Ribbono Shel Olam reinstating his kingdom. So therefore, Hayom Hara Seilom, today was the world was created. Today it's a new year. The new year, the king is coming to reinstate his kingdom. Malchus, we make the Ribbono Shel Olam Melech. On that day, automatically there's a mishpat. There's a mishpat where we meet the king. That's why we still have a su'udah on Rosh Hashanah, because we're meeting the king. There's a simcha, but there's also a fear, because he's giving out jobs. He's giving out who he feels will do the most for his kingdom. Therefore, automatically there's a mishpat. And the mishpat is, according to who are we? What are we? How good of a Secretary of State will this guy be? How good of a foreign minister will this guy be? And that depends on what we've done and what we have to show for ourselves. What credentials do we come forward that the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us panosa? What did we do with our money in the last year? What did we spend it on? Ribbono Shel Olam gives us the Atid Ishmael to be Elohim, to sit down and learn. What did we do with our time? Credentials? What do we show the Ribbono Shel Olam that we should get for the next year everything that we're dreaming about? That we should be in his good books to get the right job? That's mishpat. So therefore, when the Ribbono Shel Olam reinstates the first day of the year as a melech, it automatically causes mishpat. And mishpat means he's making a cheshbon. Who's the best guy to cause kavod Hashem? Who went out of his way during the year for kavod Hashem, for respect for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Who was scared of me? Who had emes haderech eretz for the Ribbono Shel Olam? Who had yiras shamayim? According to those credentials, that's what he's going to give you for next year. And we're not going to get very good jobs. Not the way we behave, not the way we spend our money, and not the way we spend our time. On that, therefore, we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, if we're bonim, then have rachmanus on us. But etzem, we really want to do. If it's kavodim, then we look up to you like kavodim, and just have rachmanus on us. But give us a good job. Give us the panos that we can be over to Hashem. Give us the refuah shleima that we need. Give us the menuchas hanefesh. Give us the shalom bayis. Give us everything that will make it easier for me to do kavod Hashem. And the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes says, you know what? I'll give him another chance. I'll make him Secretary of State. Let's see how he messes up. Uba Shefa Godel Yitoka Shefa. Automatically, when a king comes into town, how do we demonstrate Malchus? The trumpets. Shefa. Shefa is a way of showing that we understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam came into town. We understand the Ribbono Shel Olam reinstating inauguration. It's inauguration day. There's music. There's shefa. The shefa Godel Yitoka. And when we think about this, we would tend to feel like we failed. We're going to walk into Yom HaDin. I messed up the year. I messed up the Elul. I messed up Erev Rosh Hashanah. Let's just get through it. Let's get it over and done with. Let's hope that it won't be any worse than last year. And this is a nekuda which I'd like to stand on today. I'd also like to bring in something that was being said a lot of times before. Rav Huttner writes that all these, what we call art scroll books today, of Gedolim, when you read these books, you'd think that this guy's a godel. He never had a Yetzer Hara. He was born with a good head. He always had it easy. He could sit 3 full starim a whole day, no big deal. Read the book and you'll think there's a special type of person that's born to become a godel. And we forget, says Rav Huttner, and we don't write that in the book, that Gedolim had the same fights as we have. The Chofetz Chaim had a fight about Lashon Hara. He overcame it. He saw how terrible it was. He wrote a sefer about it. But they all had nisyonos. And every one of us in this room are all in the same boat from when we start as any other godel b'Yisrael. Some gedolim had good heads, some didn't. But in the big picture, they all had nisyonos and they had ups and they had downs. And we always forget to write about that. And that's what's missing when we read about a godel, when we think, oh, he was special. But we forget the nisyonos that he went through. I want to discuss a godel that normally I discuss on his yahrzeit. But leider, I wasn't here. Normally on the Chof Elul, 20th of El, I talk about my Zayde Rebellia Lopian. Was Nifter 39 years ago. You can call him a godel from our times. And I want to talk about the nisyonos that he went through that are very similar to nisyonos that you guys are going through. Let me tell you a bit who Rebellia was. We're talking about Rebellia at the age of 30 years old, 35 years old. He went into the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes is from the previous second Ger Rebbe. And he went in for a brocha. And the Sfas Emes said to him, younger man, a younger man that saw Eliyahu HaNavi doesn't need a brocha from me. And Rebellia turned around and said to him, a Rebbe that knows that I saw Eliyahu HaNavi can give me a brocha. You're talking about a man that when they came, when Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, had yet cancer in the throat, and there was a shaila of him being able to speak again, so they came to Rebellia to daven. And Rebellia said, what will Reb Chaim be without saying Shi'urim and Musa Shmuzen? And this is before Reb Chaim started saying Musa Shmuzen. Nobody understood what Rebellia meant when he said Reb Chaim saying Musa Shmuzen. Reb Chaim only started saying later in his life Musa Shmuzen. And Reb Chaim, by the Levaya of Rebellia, got up and spoke and he said, Ich dank Rebellia. I want to thank Rebellia. And I was listening to the tape as a kid. And I turned around to my father and I said to him, what does he mean over here, I thank Rebellia? My father said to me that Reb Chaim had a cholum from his father, that the reason why he was saved. And the reason why he got better, because in Shemayim, rebellious tefillahs were makubal. Rebellious tefillahs were makubal in Shemayim, and that's why he had a refuah shleima. So by the Leviathan rebellion, Reb Chaim got up and said, I thank rebellion. Now let me tell you something. This is, we're talking about a man who lived in our generation, and there's plenty of people around. He was nifta at the age of 95, 97. And you're talking about a man, Kodesh V'Tohi, thousands of Talmidim, Svarim, and at 9 years old, he had a Muridik in Nisoyen. At 9 years old, his parents decided, you're talking about going back over 100 years ago, that they're going to America. Okay, we're going to America. Okay. Rebellion is 9 years old, 2 days before his parents decided to pack off, take the train and go to the port and go to America, Rebellion ran away from home. He didn't want to have the Nisoyen of going to America. You're talking about in the 1860s and 1870s. America was a Trefa Medina. And Rebellion decided he's not going. And he ran away. And he came back because he didn't want to have the Nisoyen of saying goodbye to his parents. And Rebellion came back home after they left. And he found on the table money with a ticket. And as soon as he walked into the house, he tore up the ticket. He shouldn't have the Nisoyen of going. And he was left with a bit of money. And his father refused to send him money because he wanted to put pressure on him that Elinka will not come in America. Elinka is going to come to America. Yitaka went to America 50 years later, but he wasn't going to break it. And we're not talking about friar parents. We're not talking about, we're talking about Elicha parents. My great grandmother was once walking from one town to another town. And if you know, in Europe, when there's a rainstorm, a real rainstorm in Europe in those days, in Poland, in Lithuania, was a real rainstorm. You went under coverage straight away. So she was walking from one village to another. You had to go through a sort of forest. So as soon as this lightning and thunder started, she went under a tree. She went under a tree. Okay. Then suddenly a goy came by. And the goy stood under the tree as well. So she said, Tashal of Yichud. Tashal of Yichud. Can't stay. This is the Yerushalayim from a poshta woman. She didn't go to seminary. She didn't learn in school. This is the Yerushalayim from the Amoliga. Today we have to talk about Yichud. Posh of the Froy. Tashal of Yichud. Okay. Move out the way. The minute she moved out the way and she started moving in the rain and getting drenched, lightning struck the tree and the goy and the tree went down. Finished. We were gone. They moved to America. And for states of Elach, they moved to Chicago. Yeah, they're buried in Chicago. And Rebellion stayed in Europe. And Rebellion said on himself that when he was a kid, he was Moisa Nefesh for Torah. He walked all the way to Lomja. He didn't have shoes. They were worn out. He had schmatters around his feet. No flip-flops. None of this garbage. He didn't have what to wear. He put on schmatters around his feet and he walked all the way to Lomja. And he stayed in Lomja. And he was a kid on his own, and he said on himself, as a kind, as a child, I was Moisa Nefesh for Torah. And Rebellion carried on learning. He learnt in Kelm. He was one of the few after the war that learnt still by the altar from Kelm. I came to getting married. There was a shidduch read to him. I asked for everything to be turned off. And Rabbi Yitzchak David Rothman, who was his future shver, didn't know where to do the shidduch. Can I do a shidduch with a bachel whose parents went to America? He was an Adam Godel, a Kaddish Vatoy. Go and take a bochel, his parents went to America, there must be something wrong with the Mishpocha, Freya Zach, to go to America in those days. And he walked into Reb Chaim Leib Stavitzker, who was one of the biggest Mekubolim, Kadesha Elyon, and that's Kufa. And as he walked in, Reb Chaim Leib said to him, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. And he understood straight away that that's the Shidduch, and he did the Shidduch. Reb Elia lived in Kelm then, he opened up a yeshiva. Later on, he moved to England, he did a Goel HaGroh, and he came to England with the whole family, even though everybody thought he was crazy then. This way he saved his whole family before the war. Then he went to Eretz Yisrael, he became who Reb Elia was. But Kahava, thousands of Talmidim, Torah, generations of Torah, rebellion is rebellion. And you could go on for hours, stories of his Kedusha, of his Tefillah, his Koyach HaTefillah, his Shmuzen. Rabbi Rappo told me, his mother told me, that when Rebellion used to speak before Ne'ilah in London, and he used to get up and speak about what it looks at Klapi Shemaya, how the Din Shemayim looks, the women in the Ezes Noshim used to chalash, used to faint. Because he had such a koyach hadibur, he put it in front of them so clearly. I was thinking, in the old, 100, 200 years ago, to understand how Shemayim works, there was enough Yerushamayim by Yidden, because they hadn't gone out from the ghettos, that even if they didn't understand that there's a connection to Shemayim, but they understood that there's a koyach, a higher koyach. As the generations got less and less, we became more fagoished. So the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us a toiva. It's a toiva and it's not a toiva. There's such a thing called radio. When radio came out, Rebellia said, now we can understand that even if you're not connected, you are connected. Even by radar, there's such a thing that we can understand that even if you don't see it, and even if you don't understand how it works, we are connected. And this is a moshel, Rebellia used to say, the Chofetz Chaim, he said over the Chofetz Chaim, that this is a moshel. The Rebbeinu Shlom had to bring it down in practicality in order for us to understand how we can still be connected to Shemayim even though we don't see it. And as the world got worse and worse, I once said on the GPS, the GPS is the Musa Haskell for today. And the GPS, if you're going through traffic, so the GPS tells you where to go somewhere else. Because what you see from up there, you can't see from down here. That is the moshel, that sometimes we're so connected to up there that we also can't see what's going on down here. And so on and so forth. The technology of today is coming so strong that we understand what it means seeing a video. That if you come up Klapish Shemayim, when we come up after 120, they're going to show us a video of what we look like, what we did. Every mice is going to be on video, being watched by all our family, friends. And that's the way Chazal say, Beis Din Shemayla is going to be. You're going to come upstairs, and they're going to put on a video. And they're going to show you everything. Now, 200 years ago, nobody understood what it means, you're going to see everything. They didn't have to understand. They knew it, because they had their emunah. Today, we need a video, in order for us to understand that there is such a thing as a video, and they're going to show us Klapish Shemayim. They're going to show us upstairs exactly how it works and what happened to us. And when we, because we understand how videos work, and because we understand what lies behind how you take pictures, you understand that in Shemayim it's working the same way. Our emunah is so schwach, we need something mamoshistic to catch on, to understand it, physical to understand. We understand it. So today, when we turn around and we say there's going to be a video of each one of us, we believe it. And I always turn around this case, and I say, Rebellia, when he was 9 years old, he had a Nisoyan. The Nisoyan was for 1 minute, 2 minutes, an hour, a day. Do I go with my parents or do I not? Now let's say he wouldn't have gone. He wouldn't have gone. He would have gone. Let's say he would have gone. And Rebellia, a little child of 9 years old, goes off with his parents to Chicago. His parents were Elohi Yidden. Before I carry on, nothing is left of any of his brothers and sisters in the Mishpocha. The third generation, pastors have married out already. There's nothing left. We can't even find them. There's nothing left of it. My generation, that means you're talking about any clock of his brother, there's nothing to be found. And he would have gone off to America. Shame. He comes to Chicago. In those days, was there, actually there was a Jewish cheder after Goyisha school. At 15, 16 years old, he'd finished. He has to go to work. Okay. So he goes to work, he opens up a store. The Matsyo used to say over this vault, Elia's candy store. So he opens up a store and he calls it Elia's candy store. But he stays in Elachayid. Elachayid. He never missed a davening, shachris, mincha, mariv. A rule from a balabos, from the old generation, never spoke during chazos, hashatz, or kaddish. He was president of the kehillah. He was president of this organization, that organization. Gave his stocker, kosher home. He actually got married. He found a girl in America, Efsha, that was masking to cover her hair. And he starts bringing up a generation. And Rebellia for 90, how many years? He was then 9 years old, for another 80 years. Lives in Chicago, 85 years, 90 years, lives in Chicago. Staunch supporter of the Kehillah. A Rosh Yeshiva that came to America in those days, it was the only house in Chicago you could eat by. El Chayid gave stocker. His kids. Okay, in those days, what could you do? By the time Rebellia was nifted in Chicago, his kids, in those days there was no art scroll, just about could say Yisgadal v'Yisgadash. But it's not his fault. The street was too strong for them. As much as he tried to bring them up, Zelech Yidden, they went to a Goyisha school, they were schlepped into the American culture. Garnished. But you know what? But Rebellia, at 95 years old, is nifter. Massive Levaya in Chicago. This was a real balabos of the real making. And all the newspapers had write-ups on him. The Jewish Observer had an article, a true balabos. And Rebellia comes upstairs and he expects red carpet. I made it through Trefa America. I made it through Trefa America. My kids, what can I do? It was America in those days, I tried my best. But you know, they were schlepped. The Einiklach, don't even talk about. He doesn't really have much from his mishpocha to show for. But he himself, in the way he ran his house, what could be better? He comes upstairs and he expects to get Mizrach. Comes upstairs, the way they spoke by the Levaya about him was unbelievable. He went through all the Nisyanis of America, never was Machal Shabbos, never ate treif, feared the Shabbos tish, always gave stocker. He expects to come upstairs and Alam Alochim are going to there to greet him, are going to say, come, come. Doors are all open. And he gets upstairs and then there's a video machine. Upstairs it's not a small little iPod. It's one of these 70 by 35s. 45, I don't know where they're holding today. Anyway, and it was a flat screen. three dimensions. And over there they come and they show him a video. They show him a video. And the video, there's a guy with a long white beard who got a visit from Elyonovi, and he sees it clearly. Who learned with the Leshem Shmer Achloma as a younger man after he got married. Leshem Shmer Achloma was Rabbi Yashuv today, Rabbi Yashuv's grandfather, who the Chofetz Chaim said on him, it's kedai to go and visit him now when he's alive, because in Yenevel you won't be able to get into his Dalad Amos. And he lived with him for a year. You're talking about a man they showed on video that when he was a bocher, he made a Tanis Dibur for a year. Besides, all his life he fasted every Monday and Thursday. He had a Tanis Dibur every Monday and Thursday. He had a Tanis Dibur from Rosh Chodesh Elul till after Yom Kippur. Well, at 85 years old, I have a letter at home that my father writes to him to try and stop fasting, and he writes back a letter that David HaMelech killed his Yetzer Hara with fasting. But he was a man that was strong. He could bend a penny. That's how strong rebellion was. And they show him this picture. Thousands of Talmidim, three Svarim, Lev Elio, hundreds of cassettes that people adding Yom Hazeh being the Sorer of Betshuva from his tapes. Talmidim all over. Children, I don't think there's a Europe for sure. Most of the Torah in Europe after the war was from rebellious children. Whether it was my father in Gateshead or Sunderland or London, one of his children were Rosh Hashivas and the Yeshivas. Einikloch, out of 100 Einikloch when he was Nifta, I think 60 were either Rosh Hashivas, Magidishurim, or Mashgichim. You're talking about so much Torah. And then you're talking about, I'll tell you another story. Rabban Kotler in America, he was lying on his deathbed, and a Menachem Porush from Eretz Yisrael, who was a Chavei Knesset, who was in charge of Chinuch Atzmoi, came to America to visit Rabban. And Rabban is lying in bed, and Rabban says to him, "What's going on with Chinuch Atzmoi?" So he said, "We had a big meeting for Chinuch Atzmoi, and the main speaker was Rebbe Lapian." So when Rabban heard Rebellion's name, he started crying. And Rabban said, "Where would I be without Rebellion?" And what's the story? The story is that when Rabban was 12 years old, he was a brilliant kid. 13 years old, he was a brilliant kid. He had a sister that wanted to push him towards Haskalah, towards going to university, become an educated man, professor, such a brilliant kid. And Rebellion grabbed him and took him to Keln. And he was in Keln for a few months. And then he went back to his sister, and his sister tried to grab him again. Then the Elter from Slabotka went and schlepped him back to Slabotka, and he stayed in Slabotka and became Rabban Kotler. And Rabban said, "What would rebellion be? Where would I be without rebellion?" So Klapi Shmaya, we can turn around and say that a lot of the Torah in America today, Doiras of Torah, is all rebellion, because he got Rabban. And in Shemaim will be considered part of his mitzvah. So we have over here, we have England, we have Doiras of Torah, we have Rebellion himself coming to Eretz Yisrael at age 75, starting a whole new yeshiva. You have America, and this is what they're showing him. This is what they're showing him on the video. And he looks at this and he says, "Who is this?" And he says, "This is the Rebellion that you should have been." And he says, "What do you want from me? I had peer pressure. I had to go with my parents. I couldn't say no." Right? You recognize this kind of language? Right? Now it goes in text messages. "I couldn't refuse her. I couldn't say no. You got to understand where I'm coming from." And then a 9-year-old kid, there's a tiny in Shemaim on a 9-year-old kid that he could have made a decision not to go. Can you imagine what a churban it would have been? And Rebellion is standing there watching. Mr. Lopin is watching this movie when he's thinking that he's supposed to get donas olam haba. He's supposed to go right. And then a ramco, a loudspeaker, comes out in Shemaim and says, "Left." And he says, "Why?" He says, "Watch this movie. You're a tzeach. You're a murderer. because this is who you're supposed to be. And if you're not what you're supposed to be, you could have been, you're a murderer, and a Ratzeach goes to Gehenna. There's no right. There's left. There's a Moedik and Medrash. Eliyahu Novi, he's walking in the street. He's walking down the street and he meets a person who started making litzonos of him. Rabbi. I mean, you know, the normal litzonos, the black hatters, yeshivish. Ubal kenegdi. And he was making litzonos of me. V'amartilo, and I said to him, Bani, tell me, what are you going to answer upstairs? What are you going to answer in Beis HaMishpat? What? At the end of the day, we all believe one day we're not here forever. But Chaim always used to say, people think that there's a chevra of shtabas. There's a chevra that die. It's not going to happen to me. In 100 years' time, none of us in this room are going to be around. What are you going to answer in Mishpat? So he said, what do you mean, what am I going to answer? Ribbono Shel Olam never gave me seichel. I don't have a good head. So Omar le bani ma malachtecho. What do you do? What's your work? So he said, Sayyid Anoichi. Fishing. I catch animals, I catch fish. Omar le bani. Who told you to take Pishton and to tie it all together and make nets, throw it into the sea, and know exactly what to put on the hook, and fish will come? So he said to him, for that I've got seichel. I've got business acumen, right? For learning, forget it. But business I understand. Amati lo bni, if to throw nets and to bring dogim, to bring up fish, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave you seichel. So divrei Torah that it says ki korov elecho ba'oid b'thot b'ficho b'vovcha la'seisoi, that it's so close to you, it's in your heart. B'ficho b'vovcha la'seisoi, isn't it a kol shekein? We all learnt Kol HaTorah Kula before we were born. So it's there. It's really in us. We just have to come bring it out again. He suddenly chapped. It was what we call a minute of truth. And he started crying. And he said, and Eliyahu Novi says to him, don't worry about it. Everybody's going to answer that. Everybody who comes upstairs is going to say an excuse, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to prove them from actually the excuse how he could have. The stira, the contradiction that we live in. When Yehuda gave his drosha to Yosef, Yehuda turned around to Yosef and he started telling Yosef that Binyamin has to come free and my father's not going to make it. And he gives this ganze drosha of how his father is going to drop dead if Binyamin doesn't come up. And all Yosef says, Ani Yosef. And that was it. Say Chazal, Oy l'yom adin, Oy l'yom abusha. Woe is to us for the yom adin and yom abusha. That the shvatim, when he said Ani Yosef, they couldn't answer him. They were embarrassed. What were they embarrassed from saying Ani Yosef? All Yosef said to them was one thing: You gave a drosha just now that your father's going to get sick and your father's going to drop dead and your father this and your father that because Binyamin's not going to come home. I'm Yosef. Where were you 22 years ago? Where's that drosha from 22 years ago? Your own drosha, said Yosef. They couldn't answer him. He said one line. Ani Yosef. That's all. Ani Yosef. That's it. The game's over. He showed you all up. And on that Chazal say, Oyle Yom Adin, because that's what's going to happen to all of us. We're going to give a million and one excuses. And from the excuse itself, they're going to prove to us that we could have. When they show us that video of each one of us, where we could and we couldn't, and what we should have been, what we're going to answer? Ani Yosef. That's all he said. I'm Yosef. Nothing more. The same drasha that you're giving for Binyamin, you should have given 22 years ago when you sold me down to the Ishmaelim. How come you weren't worried then? They couldn't make it through. From the busha. Every one of us. In every situation. Some are bigger situations than other. All have this nisoyin. Rebellion was 9 years old. So you'll tell me that that's 120 years ago? Okay. We're 18 years old. We have the same nisoyon. Do I not? And anybody in this room will turn around and say, his parents. Kibud av ve'em, right? Suddenly the mitzvahs of Ben Adam l'chaveroi. You've got to be a nice guy, you can't do that to your parents. My parents want me to go to college. They want me to leave yeshiva. People are willing to give up everything. Peer pressure doesn't look good. Does look good. Tachlis. What's going to be in the future? You've got to make panosa. I'm not cut out for learning. That's in the big picture. And what about the small picture? How many bochrim are lost? How many Bochrim are lost with the decision of answering the text messages? How many Bochrim's man goes down the drain? Because I'm only here. Be'etzem, it's the Shem Shemaim, I'm helping her. She means well. She gets me up for Shacharis. How many Zmanim have gone down the drain because of one decision of taking the bus all the way into town, even if I'm on the way to the coastal? How much Yerushalayim goes down the drain? Do you really think that Rebbeinu Shalom wants that coastal davening after going through Rishus HaRabim when the Gemara Paskins Nikre Rosho? That if you have a nisoyan of going down two types of streets and you go down a street where you're over Yisurah Deraisa, Nikre Rosho, and we talk about the three books that were open before by Yom HaDin, Shleish Sforim Niftochim, Echot Shel Tzadikim, one of Tzadikim, one of Beinonim, one of Roshoim, and we have to make sure that Erev Rosh Hashanah I'm called a Rosha by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Make sure, Adrabba, with a golden estampo. Yeah, I'm a Rosha, I'm sitting here within all the schmutz, and I want to walk into Rosh Hashanah, that when the Ribbono Shel Olam opens up the Sefer has Zichronus. What are you talking about? Last night he was considered himself a Rosha. How much ruchnius is thrown out the window from these decisions I couldn't say no to my friend. I'll look too frum. They'll think I'm coming too yeshivish already. I'm moving too fast. All these excuses. And yet I can work for 2 months straight, 12-hour shifts. I never missed a day of work. I can be up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I never worried about sleep. I could go a whole day without food. I could give my koichas away for the avas hakesef that has no siyata dishmaya, because most bochum who work during the summer have nothing to show for it already because the money's gone. And that's the way we go through our life. For that we have koichas. For that we have mesiras nefesh. Suddenly when there's a job, I've got no time to answer text messages. But in Milchazot HaShatz, when that's the Ikka Tefillah, I'll play my snake game. In Milchazot HaShatz, I'll answer a text. But when I'm in the middle of a job, Chas V'Sholom, I'm taking care of a customer. Doesn't look good. Ani Yosef. That's what he's going to turn around to us. He's going to show us on the video how much Mesiras Nefesh we have for all the garbage that we considered Choshev. Take those koichas and put it into Ruchnias. Anybody here would have turned around and said rebellion was right. He should have gone with his parents. He was right. He's going to come upstairs. The Jewish Observer article was 100% right. This is a true balabos. This is a guy you've got to learn from. This is a guy who made it through life, even though he never went to yeshiva. Because he had principles. And when he gets upstairs, Rosh HaMarusha, he's a Ratzeach. He's a murderer. Because that's not what you came down on this world for. And every one of us goes through these nishyanis. Day in, day out. And how much ruchnias. And how much of life is thrown out because of these stupid decisions when we don't realize that we're killing doiros. Because when I don't put in a good year of learning, I'm going to be marrying a girl that's not going to be a choshev girl. And then the kids look like they look today. It's doiros. When I make a decision today, I'm making a decision for doiros. How much Torah will be lost because of certain decisions that I make on a Thursday night, on a Motzei Shabbos, on a Friday afternoon, and even during the week? Do I come to say them? Do I not? These are big decisions. This is where the Rebbeinu Yerushalayim says, Ani Yosef. The Rambam says there's nobody in this world that can become as big as Moshe Rabbeinu. Tzaddik ke Moshe Rabbeinu, everybody can be. Rabbi Chanan says, how can anybody be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Says Rabbi Chanan, Moshe Rabbeinu's maila was Moshe Avdi. Moshe Avdi means he was a servant. A servant thinks 24/7 of his master. Each one of us, lefi his koichas, can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll finish off with a Maisa Noira. A boch in this yeshiva goes back 10, 12 years ago. He came in like everybody else. He didn't have a special head. B'chlalnish, shvach. I think he knew which side Rashi and which side Tosfos, which is pretty good. And I still remember the first Chanukah, basically drunk in the Dira, telling me in a very choshev way how to get out the Dira. And, okay. Won't be the first time, won't be the last time. And he's after about halfway through first year, he started turning around. And he started becoming a masmid. And the second year, he started doing three full storim. I mean, he harvered away. He worked day and night, finishing the sechtas, Gemara Rashi, Gemara Rashi Taisus. Today he is an accomplished Talmud Chochem. He's a younger man that I would stand up for. I stand up for him. Emes a Talmud Chochem, Yirei Shemayim. Anyway, in the middle of the second year, there was a problem in the house at home. And there was a tzad that his mother wanted him back home. His mother didn't want to tell him the problem, so his mother called me. I called him to the house, and I said to him, I want to tell you a story. Going back 100 years ago, 150 years ago, there was a yingler in a town called Slutsk. He was called Yossel. And he was one of these kids, what they call street kids. He was known as Yossel Shagetz. He was a kid that used to, in those days, there was no, you know, hanging out by 7-Eleven or something like that. In those days, he used to hang out by the river with the dogs. Today we have two feet of dogs. In those days, it was four. And that's where they used to hang out with the Shkotsim. And he was known as a kid, Yossel Shagetz. And he's walking back home when he was about 12, 13 years old. And he overhears a father screaming at his kid that he doesn't want him to look like Yossel Shagetz. He's telling off his kid. And Yossel got such a shock. It was like a wake-up call that he came home and he told his father that he's going to Volozhin. Take a guy out, you know, coming out of America high school, saying, you know, I'm going to Ponovich, I'm going to Brisk. He went to Volozhin. Volozhin, there was Gedolei Yisrael there. His father said, you know, wake up, smell the coffee. I am going to Volozhin. You don't want to come with me? I'll start walking now. And he started going. His father saw he had no brayer. He went with him. And they turned up in Volozhin, and he walks into Reb Chaim Volozhin. We're going back, Reb Chaim Volozhin, we're going back probably 150 years ago. Talmud from the Goyim. Reb Chaim Volozhin looks at him and says to him, Yossel, where are you holding in learning? Gornish Gelent. Rashi, Taisa, didn't know which side. And Reb Chaim says, there's nothing to look for here. I mean, to get into Volozhin, you have to know at least either say the Noshim, say the Nezikim. Something you gotta. And he kept pushing Reb Chaim. No, I am staying. And Reb Chaim saw this burning want in his eyes. And Reb Chaim said, "You know what? You're staying. I'll get you a chavrusas." And he got three ultra rabbachim to learn with him: morning, afternoon, evening. And they suddenly realized that this guy is a brilliant kid. And within 1-2 zmanim, the kid was already on par with a lot of the rest of the Bachrim. He sat in Volozhin 6, 7, 8 years. While he was sitting in Volozhin, there's a letter that comes to Volozhin from his mother. And in those days, if a letter came, the Hanhola opened it. It's not like today. Well, today no letters come, you got text. But in those days, if a letter came, it means it was bad news, because nobody sent letters. So the Rosh Yeshiva always opened it up. So Reb Chaim, the story goes, Reb Chaim opened it up and it said over there that your father became sick and there's little kids at home and we need somebody to make the panasa. Come home and make the panasa. And either Reb Chaim showed him the letter or Reb Chaim didn't show him the letter. There's two nuschois. He only showed it to him later. Reb Chaim said, even so, you stay. Okay. A few months later, he gets another letter. Tate gestorben. No. Got a letter later. There was a fire in the town and the whole row of stores got burnt down and your father's store got burnt down as well. You've got to come home and help. Your father's sick, there's no store. And Reb Chaim said, Af al pi kein, you stay. Okay. And then a letter turns up a few months later, and Reb Chaim opens a letter, Tate gestorben, your father died. Chaim didn't show it to him. He only showed it to him after the Shloshim. And Reb Chaim said, you stay. Af al pi kein. And Yossel sat and learnt, till one day there was a knock on Reb Chaim's door, and the town of Slutsk were looking for a Rav. And Reb Chaim says, wait a minute, I have somebody who is fitting for the position. And he calls in Yossel. Yossel was then a grown man. Talmud Chochem Muflag. And he walks in, Reb Chaim stood up. He said, I'd like to introduce you to this younger man. He said, do you remember years ago, there was a kid called Yossel Shagas. So one of them, I think, remembered that. Taka, I remember there was a kid, you know. It was a famous kid that went off, Yossel Shagas. And he disappeared one day. We don't know what happened to him. He said, this is Yossel. This is your Yossel. And let me tell you the story, he says, go weiter. He says, the Sultan was willing to make his father sick, was willing to burn down the whole row of stores, was willing that his father should die, that Yossel Slutsker shouldn't vaccinate, so God will be Israel. He became from the Poiske Ador. He says, he told the Kehillah, take him and make him Rav. He became Rav Yossel Slutsker, famous Poisek, from the Gedolei Yisrael. And Reb Chaim said it was worth it for the Sultan, that the father, the mother should be an almana, burn down all the stores, that these bochas shouldn't vax sois of God will be Israel. And I understood, said Reb Chaim, what he wanted, what the Sultan wanted. What would we say today? Your father died, you must go home. Your mother doesn't have panosa, you must go and help the family. And what did Reb Chaim say? No! Maisa Sultan! How many times today we don't even know, the Sultan doesn't have to come on to us. We bring the Sultan with our BlackBerry into the Beis HaMedrash. We bring the Sultan in our pockets. And with that we daven and we learn to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Do we need a Yossel Slutsker? How many Yosselers in this Beis HaMedrash got lost because of that BlackBerry, because of that iPod that we bring into the Beis HaMedrash with us? During davening, during learning. Nobody's father has to drop dead over here. Nobody has to lose their business in order to make Yosla not come a God Lador. We do it ourselves. The Sultan doesn't have to come up with new ideas. Every one of us could be a Yossel Slutsker. Every one of us could be a Gadol Be Yisrael. But the Sultan is so smart that he even makes davening on the BlackBerry. So therefore, that is kosher. Ich daven mit der Chazal Fieselach. That's what it is. Exactly like Esav HaRosha went in and asked Yitzchak Avinu, how do I take Melach, my son Melach? What are you trying to do? Prove the Rabbeinu Shel Olam that you're a tzaddik with your Maisa Te'eva, with the same box that I write to girls, with the same box that I'm watching porn, I'm davening as well, noch dazu. Does the Sultan have to stop anybody going right off? Does the Sultan have to make that the father or the lose their businesses? He can kill every Yossel in this room without doing too much work. And then when we come upstairs and he shows us the true video, that true video of what was supposed to be, and you can look and say, what do you want? I come from a different culture. I was fried out of my brains. What do you want from me? I had peer pressure. I had to smoke up with them. I had to drink with them. I had to be cool. I had to show them how much I can drink. This is what you're going to show upstairs. This is what you're going to say. I mean, Yosef. How many rotzchim? How many murderers are walking around this room that are killing their lives? Killing their ruchnius? Killing doyrus? Every one of us is a yossel here. Hayom haras oilom. Today the Ribbono shel Olam. Tomorrow night starts where the Ribbono shel Olam reinstates his kingdom. And because he reinstates, he wants to know, who do I make ministers? Who is going to be the one? Who's going to be my minister? My foreign minister? Who is going to be Kovod Shamayim? Who bothers about my Torah? Who bothers about my mitzvahs? Him I'll put in. Him I'll reinstate. Him I'll give panosa. Him I'll give that he should be bari v'sholim, he should be healthy. But if I walk into Rosh Hashanah with rishus, and rishus doesn't mean, Rosha means over there, nikra Rosha. Do you want to get by that the Ribbono shel Olam should give us mi yanua? 50% of Americans are living on depression pills, antidepressant pills. There's never been so many psychologists in the Yiddish community like we have today. Every second guy you meet, I'm on therapy. Therapy! Mi yichya mi yomus! Because the beginning of the year, the Ribbono shel Olam said, you want to live, no problem. You can stay alive physically, but you're not going to have quality of life. You'll be depressed the whole year. You'll go through life. You want to be a sheikh, it's over there, no problem. You'll go through one girl after another girl, heartache after heartache. No problem. You'll feel down every second week. You'll feel a loser. You didn't make it, I'm wasting my time. Miyomus, that was Paskin Rosh Hashanah. You want to live a dead person? No problem. You will be the minister that everybody learns from what not to be. That's where my Kvod Shemayim will come from, says the Ribbono shel Olam. Gimel Svarim Nistochim, says the Slonimah. There are three books that are open. We normally learn up that the Ribbono shel Olam opens these books and takes a look at what we've done till now. Says the Tolas Yankov Yosef. No. There are three books that are open. The Ribbono shel Olam wants to know on the night of Rosh Hashanah which book you're going to sign your name in for the next year. And according to where you sign your name, that's what I'm going to give you. He's not going to look at last year. Leave last year. He's giving you credit. Right? Americans understand what credit line is. Sometimes, every so often, the bubble bursts. The same thing goes in Shemayim. Ribbono shel Olam is willing to give you credit. He's willing that the bubble should even move bigger and bigger. One day it'll burst. There's din, he'll give din v'cheshbon everything you did. But he's willing to give you a credit line. Where do you sign your name? On which dotted line? Do you sign your name on the tzaddik? In the svarim shel tzaddikim? Do you sign your name in the svarim of beinoyim? I'm on both sides of the fence. You know, I haven't made up my mind. I'm here, I'm there. I can live on both sides of the world. I'm makbid on the gear. I'm okay. Both sides, beinoyim, tzurim v'ayimdim. Or do you sign your name on Rishoyim? I belong over there. I'm together with all those guys. I'm from the Rishoyim that signed my name, that where I go, Nikre Rosha. That's what's going to happen tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is, where do I sign my name on the dotted line? Am I going to make a cheshbon, a achlota? Am I going to decide? Where do I sign my name? Do I go to America at 9 years old? Doesn't Ribbono shel Olam have to say, Ani Yosef, 150 years later, 70 years later? Is the movie that I come upstairs to going to be different than the movie that went on down here? Or it's going to be exactly the same? Am I going to be the Yosela that makes it? Or am I going to stay the Yosela Shagas? Tomorrow night, who signs the name in the Sifron Shal Tzadikim? The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't expect us to be Tzadikim overnight. But I'm willing to give you a credit line that you should have Parnosa, you should have Refuah, you should have Shalom Bayis, you shouldn't be depressed. Quality of life. How many American Yeshiva Bochum, how many American Jungalites are dying to be happy? Happy. And they think with money, with cars, with houses, and they're still not happy. And they're going for therapy for all their life. When they forget one main thing, that the biggest therapy is being a Frum Yid, is being an Oved Hashem. Who is the most happiest man in the world that everybody runs to? Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Have you ever seen somebody who looks so calm? Who's so much besimcha, doesn't know what the word depressed means, in his two-room flat, without any furniture. And everybody's running to him. For what? For a quick fix, a brocha, something, epis, loss. You could be the same Reb Chaim as he was. Reb Chaim didn't have a special head when he was a young kid. Every one of us could be a Reb Chaim. He decided where the real simcha was. He understood it's not going to get me anywhere, somewhere else. He signed his name on the dotted line, Tzadikim. We can all be there. The Ribbono Shel Olam can give us Chaim, Refuah. We'll be one of his ministers to represent him, L'Kovod Shemayim. But where are you signing your name? Where's the check being signed? It's very close to us. It's so close to us that when we realize how close it's to us, we're in shock. Hayom haras olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is reinstating his presidency tomorrow night. Because he's reinstating it, he's going to look around and judge each one of us. And he's going to take a look. Where did he sign his name on the dotted line? And according to where he put his name, that means our mindset, our achlota for the next year. Where do we intend to be? I don't think he doesn't know that after Yom Kippur, I'm going to do Kol Davar Asa. That's called signing in the Rishoyim. That's making a hachlota that I'm giving away my year of Ruchnias. I'm throwing it away. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're willing to sign in Sifron Shel Rishoyim? No problem. You know what? You'll have a great time in Israel for a year. But you'll walk away with a lot of heartache. You'll walk away with a lot of Baal Chayiv. And in 20 years' time, you'll fall into depression because I killed the best years of my life. And I ended up marrying the wrong girl because of what I did in Israel. And I ended up probably in divorce. Or I'm not in divorce, I'm not happily married. I give you the whole list all the way down. So it's no problem. You'll have a chayim. You'll live. We all walk around with this. Yeah, we'll make it through. Everybody makes it through. There's a few guys in Nebuch who get sick, you know, who end up dying from cancer. There's a few people out there, you know, Nebuch, whatever. They don't have the mazel that we have. But I've got good mazel, I'll make it through. The Rebbe says, yeah, no problem. You want to make it through? Make it through! You'll have a great time! You'll drink till you marry, it'll be gewaldic. What do you got to show for it? You'll be the most depressed guy on earth. That's called Moves. Because Roshoyim Ola Moves. Tzadikim, Besifron Shel Tzadikim, forget about all your avers you've done till now, forget about, put it on the side. walk in tomorrow night with a hachlota, with a mindset that I would like to sign on Sifron Shel Tzadikim. I'd like to make a hachlota that I'm not going to America, that I'm not going back to because of peer pressure. I'm going to make sure I become Yosla Slutska. And with this, we should be zeicha to aksiva v'chsim l'toiva. Let me just finish off with one nekuda. The last ma'ariv of the zman, of the year, and the last shachris of the year, and the last mincha of the year, says rebellion is yoim kishona. A day can be considered like a year. You can be misakin your tefillas, all your tefillas, with a good ma'ariv, with a good shachris, with a good mincha, and with schuz dem, we should be zeicha to aksiva v'chsim l'toiva.